Hey guys, so we had a bit of breaking news today. On Sunday, we filmed the fourth episode of Front Row Hoopcast, and on Monday, we learned that Andy Smethers had decided to leave Butler with the intent to transfer. Obviously, we're not going to be able to include it in episode 4 because it hadn't happened yet, but in episode 5, we'll be going over the details of everything that happened, what this means for Butler, the scholarship situation. In the meantime, we wish nothing but the best for Andy. We all have fond memories of him from his 17-point outburst against Oakland City, and of course, the Butler nerd in the NCAA tournament. So we'll get back to that in episode 5, but for now, just enjoy episode 4. Thanks, guys.
You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the fourth episode of Front Row Hoopcast, the show where we talk about nothing but Butler basketball. I'm your host, Ari Castle, joined by the president of the Derrick Rose Fan Club, Kevin Schwartz, and the president of the Kellen Dunham Fan Club, Mr. Marco Tomic. This fourth episode of Front Row Hoopcast is brought to you by Hotbox Pizza. Hotbox Pizza, they're having National Breadstick Day on Wednesday. Go to Hotbox, get some breadsticks.
They're pretty good.
They are good. And you know, Hotbox and Butler basketball go together pretty well. You cannot watch. It is a scientific fact. You cannot watch Butler basketball without Hotbox Pizza. And I'm not one to argue with science.
Cam Woods' arm looks like breadsticks.
Sorry for the delay again, Hoopcasters. Technical difficulties. There was a blackout at Butler. But all that matters is that we had two exhibition games, and we won them both, so let's get right down to it. Kevin, overall impressions of the team, actually seeing them face off against competition.
For some reason, they can score this year. I don't know where that's been. I know Rodney gave us a spark last year, but in the past, Butler just hasn't been able to put the ball in the basket, and we're getting guys putting up 20 points. I mean, I'm not used to this, but I like it. I like it a lot. However, defensively, we need to be tougher.
We averaged 97 points in two exhibition games, which is crazy.
I don't think there's a time Butler ever averaged 97 points. But one of, like Kevin said, I probably have to go with defense. We just look lost out there sometimes. I mean, the offense is looking nice, but we are not playing the best of competition. Maybe we can get into a little bit of swing of things. I don't think we're going to average 97 points, but hopefully we can keep up the point production, get a little bit more exciting offense.
Mm-hmm. All right, since you guys both mentioned the defense was a critique, I was talking to Barlow today, and I said, your defense has looked really shaky, and he reminded me. He said, last season, at the beginning of last year, our defense looked shaky as well. And he's saying, once we get in that rhythm, it's going to be the Butler defense. I don't remember it being quite this bad last year, but I do remember it was not as great, but I am a little concerned.
The difference is we are having more young players coming to the system. Mm-hmm. They have to jump right in, learn that system, and maybe they're just not up to par yet with it, trying to figure out all the differences. That, I think, is the difference, having more young players play immediately.
Speaking of young players, we got to start with the highlight from each of the two exhibition games, the delivery man, Elijah Brown. Kevin, talk to me about Elijah Brown. What did you like? What did you not like?
Elijah is clearly a spark off the bench. He was phenomenal from deep. He was able to create his own shot. That step back is just lethal if he's putting the ball in the basket. We did notice that he forced a lot of shots. We talked about that a lot. However, when the offense is stagnant, you need somebody to try and do something. And I think that's a benefit. I don't think Coach Miller was at all disappointed with the effort that Elijah gave out there, especially on the offensive end. He's going to be a big help in the Big East once we get to these more difficult games, if he can continue his production.
You mentioned that step back. I'm going to say of the 16 shots Elijah took in those two games, 11 of them were, like, bad shots to take. That one against DePauw when he, like, stepped back and popped that three, everyone's going nuts. And I'm just sitting there like, what the hell did he just shoot that for? Like, that was such a bad shot. And I know it went in because it was awesome, but that was an awful shot. I don't care what anyone says.
No shot is a bad shot that goes in my opinion.
Okay. Well, Elijah's offense is clearly incredible. His defense is not. He looked bad, okay, on a couple occasions. He got beat bad a couple points, out of position. Are we concerned, Marco?
Defensively, I think Elijah will have time. He's athletic. He's big. He'll have time to get better. Just learning from some of the older players, maybe because he does come off the bench, like you guys like to emphasize to me, I think that the older guys that he looks up to that start a little bit can maybe possibly help him out, like a Barlow, who is one of our more of a defensive inclined players.
Well, you know what, though? I think that being in the Big East benefits our defense a lot, and the reason is our schedule is not that strong until we get to Big East play because the competition level is so high. So that's going to allow us to develop at all ends of the ball, but especially on the defensive end. I mean, we play the New Jersey Institute of Technology.
Powerhouse.
The powerhouse. You know, the only two big games that we see until the team heads to Disney World for you know, in Florida for that Old Spice Classic is Vandy and Princeton. Other than that, it should be a cakewalk.
All right, that brings up a question from one of our viewers. Thomas Peterson wants to know, what do you guys think is the biggest slash most important game of the year? And that is a really, really good question. I'm going to take this one first. Honestly, Villanova, our Big East opener. I think that is going to be the chance, our first time seeing us play in the Big East. How are we going to look against these Big East teams? It's not the most primetime matchup. Obviously, Georgetown and Marquette are premier games. But that first game in the Big East is what I am most excited to see and is really going to shape my opinion of this team.
I think that the game I'm looking forward to that I think can possibly set the tone is when we get into the games that early in our schedule will set the tone. The Princeton team that Kevin liked to mention is big, likes to score. That's going to really set the tone. It's going to really see how much we've developed our team, how are we going to be ready.
It's a lot of tone setting.
Yeah.
I think I just love the Xavier matchup because that can be a game where – We get a big win on the road at that first one, heading into where we have DePaul and then Georgetown in our place that first week in January. That's a momentum swing right there. Everybody knows it's a big game. Going to Xavier, it's going to be crazy up there. When they come to Hinkle, it's going to be a huge matchup as well. It really could turn the season around or drop it off the table because it's a game that is winnable. They are projected to be a little bit better than us, but nobody's sitting here going, oh, we can't beat Xavier by any means. It's one of those games that you just have to live for and get excited about and hopefully build off of.
Speaking of Xavier, I'm literally, this is going to be one sentence and we're not discussing it. Trayvon Blue committed to Xavier. It was a terrible choice. Anyway, let's get back to Butler basketball. Kellen Dunham was an absolute boss in both of these games. The scrimmage game, he was shaky. In Australia, he was shaky. He was dropping bombs in both games. Well, let me see these stats. 23 and 16 in both games. Each of those games, that was a weird way to say it. In the first game, he had 16. In the second game, he had 23. And he looked really good, really aggressive in both of those games. Kellen Dunham, fan club president. Please tell me what this man is doing so well.
I mean, obviously, we're having a bunch of new members joining the team after these performances. I mean, Kellen is taking the ball to the hoop strong, getting and ones, knocking down three-pointers. I mean, even taking some shots that you guys kind of wish he did take. I mean, I heard that you guys complain, oh, why didn't you take that, Kellen? You need to take that. I think he's being smart. I think he's not forcing it, and he knows to pick and choose his shots. He's, as they used to say in high school, he's got that golden touch.
You look at his turnovers. He's got, what, one in two games?
Yeah.
That's really good. If he's going to be, you know, he's going to have to force a couple shots. We understand that. We know that he's the biggest part of our offense. However, if you're not going to turn the ball over, it's going to be a lot more beneficial to the team because you're going to have better possessions in general.
In both these games, Kellen was the best player on offense. And I think the best player on defense in both games was also Mr. Elastic. Cameron Woods.
My arms are going to get tired.
Picking up rebounds like it is his job. He had 9 rebounds in game one. He had 6 rebounds in game two.
In limited minutes.
Yeah. If we flash back to last week, which I want us to, I said, Cam Woods, get rebounds. Like, it's your job. Don't worry about scoring. Do not worry about scoring, Cam. Just get rebounds. The man clearly watches the Hoopcast because he did exactly like I told him to do, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. He looked pretty dominant, and they were like, energizing rebounds as well. Oh, yeah. He's going up, grabbing that ball with one hand, pulling it down, stomping his feet on the floor when he lands.
Oh, yeah.
And it gets everybody excited. You hear the crowd go, whoa. Those are things that can help build momentum to your team. You know, we saw that his rebounds led to offensive scoring opportunities. He even took one coast-to-coast for a layup himself.
Yeah. Please don't do that too often.
He shouldn't do that too often. But you know what, though? Those big rebounds, those key moments where you're trying to build a lead and progress is where he can make an impact on the boards.
If we're talking about rebounds, Cam Woods did such a great job. Kevin, who did not do such a great job? First of all, before we get into rebounds, we got out-rebounded by DePaul the other day, which is unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable.
Oh, my God.
Kevin, I see you on the top of your list right here. Why don't you bring that point up? It's a great point.
Kyle has to rebound better. Kyle Marshall
6 rebounds in 2 games.
Too big, too athletic, and too strong to sit there and only put up 2-3 rebounds a game. That's not going to cut it. You know, against small competition, it's not going to cut it when we get to teams that have dynamic rebounders. 90% of basketball really comes down to, in my opinion, who wins the rebounding battle? Because no team shoots over 55% for a game.
I mean,
you take away all those possessions, you get the ball down the court, or you get offensive rebounds to help your team get more possessions, you're going to put yourself in the prime position to win. And Kyle is too dynamic, too athletic to not be bringing down those boards.
My selfless Devontae Morgan plug of the week is, I mean, even Devontae had 7 rebounds in the past combined games.
Equal to Kyle's total.
Yeah.
At this point, I think it's a good time to turn to our friend at the Indy Star, Mr. Zach Kiefer, for our new segment, Kiefer's Question.
Zach Kiefer with the Indianapolis Star. My question for you guys, if Butler's season hangs on the production of one player, who's that guy?
All right, thanks, Zach. Now, the easy answer, I think, is Kellen Dunham. But here's the thing. I know Kellen's going to go out there and get his points each week. I think the person who's most important to this team to get points is Eric Fromm.
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
I was the one who said that last week, so I'm going to take credit
okay,
for it.
But I was saying that, like,
I'm going to take credit.
Kellen's going to get his 15, 16 each week.
It needs to be better than that if
okay,
we're winning.
But anyway,
games.
Eric needs to get, like, his 8, 9, 10 each week, or we're going to be in trouble. Like, Elijah is not going to be dropping bombs every week and hitting those crazy shots, okay? He's streaky, like I've said for 1,000 times. But Eric was my pick. I'm glad you agree.
I agree with – I mean, we talked about Eric hitting those threes, especially in the offensive flow. I would like to see him take a couple more. You know, he didn't take any last game and against DePaul. He was 1-for-2 from the field in the first exhibition game against Nova Southeastern. He probably had 5 or 6 opportunities to shoot it. He's shooting 50% from three right now, even though it's only 1-for-2. But if he can put up, you know, 42, 43% from deep, which he told me personally he's capable of doing, then he's going to be able to score 12, 14 points and be a, you know, really help the offense.
The person I'm looking forward to most, and I think is the most important offensively, is Kyle Marshall. Kyle Marshall needs to be putting up those points. I mean, if he's not putting, he's not grabbing rebounds, he needs to be putting up the points. Butler is 16-1 when Kyle scores more than 10 points, and I think that's an integral part to our offense, getting him situated down there in the low post in his mid-range jump shot.
All right, let's see what Zach has to say.
My answer is Kellen Dunham. 9.5 points a game as a freshman. That number has to spike considerably for his sophomore season. He's going to be a volume scorer, and he needs to avoid the off night. When he has bad shooting nights, this offense is going to struggle, especially in the Big East.
Thanks again, Zach. If you do not already, please follow him on Twitter. Awesome source for Butler basketball. Got to be real fun to read his articles in the season. In that first game, the new hand check rule was introduced to the Butler faithful. Marco, you have the hand check rule written down.
Yes.
A lot of people may not know what it is. Can you just describe it to us?
Yes. The four main points it is keeping a hand or forearm off an opponent, putting two hands on an opponent, continually jabbing an opponent by extending an arm or placing a hand or forearm on the opponent, or using an arm bar to impede the progress of the dribbler.
And if you don't know Alex Barlow, this is his defense.
That's his
right
bread
there.
And butter.
Yes. He's going to have to adapt, quite frankly. Yep. And he looked rough in that first game, and he showed improvement in the second
Definitely.
Game. And I do think that Butler has relied a lot on the hand-checking rule in the past to, you know, play their defense. But it is nowhere as bad as, like, VCU. Like, VCU is – their program is done if this new hand-check rule is put into place because they won't be able to play defense. I'm interested to see how frequently the refs are going to call this rule because it happens all the time. Kevin, how do you think this affects the Butler defense?
I think it has a huge effect on the Butler defense. To me, it sounds like they're trying to eliminate all physical play from the guard position. Obviously, in the post, you can't take that out of the game. It's a much different call down there. But when you're out there dribbling and you're running around screens and stuff like that, or you've got the ball and you're trying to make a move to the basket or get around a defender, now that you can't literally be touched where you could make a little bit contact before, it's really going to, A, slow down the game, but B, put Butler and less athletic, a little bit slower point guards in a lot of trouble. Barlow had a great year last year defensively. Yeah. He's very active with his hands, always goes for the steal, gets his hands on the ball. But, you know, if he makes any slight contact with a defender, I have a feeling the refs are going to call it, and it's going to force him to sit on the bench.
I mean, that's what happened with Kellen early in our second game. He put his hands on early, got a couple of quick foul calls, put him on the bench. This could really hurt Butler. But then again, is that really helping us? I mean, we have been averaging 97. Can you attest that this hand-check rule is possibly also helping our offense a little bit?
Yeah, well, if the hand-check rule is called every time, Kellen will be averaging 40 points a game. He'll be at the line that much.
And the president of his fan club's happy to hear that.
So with this new rule, is Barlow still our starting point guard?
It's his job to lose.
Exactly, yeah.
I think he will have it until he gives a reason to Coach Miller to hand it over to somebody else. And you know what? You get 5 fouls. Use them.
I think it's time for everyone's favorite segment, Tomich's tweets.
Tomich's tweets.
The two tweets that I'd like to go with are from the fake Brad Stevens account. The first one is, will Xavier also be extending a scholarship to Trayvon's father? I heard they were a package deal. Hashtag go dogs. And the second one is, I guess Trayvon really wanted to be in a gang, not a basketball team. Zip him up.
Zip him up.
The first one's just so funny because we had heard reports that they were, UCLA was getting Trayvon's dad a job out there and basically moving the family out there.
You know my new nickname for Trayvon is? The puppet. Because he's just getting his strings pulled. quick prediction. We got Lamar on Saturday. You laugh, but it's our first real game, man.
I said we were going to beat Nova Southeastern by 40 in the last one.
Okay.
And we did.
Okay.
And I think we're going to beat Lamar by 40 also, and that'll most likely happen.
I think we're going to continue the offensive output that we have been. Maybe not in the 96 region, but I could expect high numbers again from our team. Lamar, I'm sorry. You're just going to get rained on.
That's all we got for today. Once again, I'm Ari Castle. For Kevin Schwartz and Marco Tomich, thank you for watching. Once again, this episode is brought to you by Hotbox Pizza. Give them a try. Also, please follow us on Twitter, @HoopCastBU, and subscribe to us on iTunes. We'll be happy to answer any questions on the show. Maybe you'll get a little shout-out. On behalf of all of us, guys, IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.